we just sit here for a moment, realizing this year is coming to a close. For some, pretty tough year. But even in the midst of all the tough things that happen, God always sends good things, doesn't he? He always sends good things to help us through the bad times. Turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. If you're using the Bible in the pew, it's 12:12. Title of the message is God's Perfect Timing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need your help today. I need it every day. Especially today. Help my voice to stay the time. Help me to share, bring things up, Lord, that you'd have us to know and to see in this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Galatians chapter 4, 2 verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christmas is a special time for us because we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's also a time when we can envision a world the way it could or ought to be. There was an article a few years ago in which a man gave his idea of a perfect world. He said, in a perfect world, you would feel as good at 60 as you did at 17. And you would be as smart at 60 as you thought you were at 17. In a perfect world, professional basketball and football players would be complaining because the school teachers were signing multi-million dollar contracts. In a perfect world, he said, potato chips would have calories, but if eaten with a dip, the calories would be neutralized. Boy, he's dreaming. This was his idea of a perfect world. So what would make this a perfect world for you? Ice cream that's good for the heart? Apple pies that prevent cancer? Cheesecake that helps take off pounds? I can think of all kinds of things for my perfect world. And so while we're thinking about perfect things, notice that Galatians chapter 4 says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. In this particular passage, in this verse, I see three perfect things. And I'm going to only talk about the one today. But the three things that I see in this passage is perfect timing, which is what I want to talk about today. When the time was exactly right. And then you can see the perfect gift that God sent his Son. And the perfect purpose was to redeem us. Three perfect things in this verse. But this morning I want to focus our attention on the perfect timing. Paul said, the time had fully come. In the Greek language, there was two words for time. One is kairos, which means opportune time, an opportunity that comes your way that just pops up, or maybe quite by accident. And then there's chronos, from which comes our word chronology. And it's the orderly progression of events when everything follows its proper sequence. And that is the word that's used here. God didn't decide on the spur of the moment to take advantage of an opportune time. God's timing is always perfect. And I can tell you, mine's always lousy. It's always lousy. I'll be the one to show up at a bank machine and it's out of order. I'll pull up to the gas pump and it's out of order. That's the one that's out of order. That's the one I always use, but it's out of order today. That's my timing. God's timing is quite perfect. It's perfect. He planned and orchestrated the sequence of events when the time was just right. He sent his only begotten son into the world in Acts 17:26. It says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live. So the scriptures simply mean God is in control. He is in control. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 11 says he's made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So you see, your life and mine are in God's hands. God keeps the clock. God's made everything beautiful in its time. And so I want you to look with me this morning to God's perfect timing in the Old Testament. Then we'll look at it in the life of Christ, and then we'll look at it in our own lives. You have your Bibles, go all the way to the beginning of the book. I believe Derek asked me Sunday night, what was my favorite book of the Bible? Well, I said I like them all. But Pastor, if you had to pick one, what would it be? Wow. I suppose Genesis. That's where it all began. And my other one would be Revelation. I like to know how it starts, and I like to know how it ends. How about you? Yeah. What a good question. Genesis chapter 24, did I tell you? Genesis 24, you can follow after me. When is she God's perfect timing? It's the story of Abraham's servant. Abraham's servant's being sent back to the homeland, to the town of Nahar, to find a wife for his son Isaac. Now, Abraham's servant is the oldest. He's the oldest servant. He's also in charge of everything. Abraham has many servants, but this is the oldest servant, and he's in charge of everything that Abraham has, including trying to get a wife for his son Isaac. So, of course, you know, no pressure there for this servant. His assignment, he certainly didn't want to fail. So look with me now, verse 12, 13, and 14, chapter 24. When the servant arrived there, he knelt at the well of Nahar. He prayed that God would send the right young woman to the well, and that when he asked for a drink, she would also offer to water his camels. You see, that was his prayer. That was what he prayed for. And he needed to know for sure if this was going to be the right woman for Isaac. And if it was, she would let him drink, and she would also offer to get all the water for his camels. Now, how would you like to draw water out of a well for camels? Not me. That's a lot of work. It was in the evening when the women came to the wells. It was the cool part of the day. They came to the wells. All right, so let's go on. So what do you think the odds are of happening just the way that he prayed this? That was his prayer, by the way. And the Bible says that Rebekah came to the well and filled his water jar, even as he just got done finished praying, is how it happened. Verse 17, if you're following, the servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him drink. Verse 18 and 19, after she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they've finished drinking. Ooh, that's just what the servant asked God to show him. Let her say that, and boy, he knew this was the one. And at the right time, at the right place, God sent Rebekah to meet the servant, and she ends up becoming the wife of Isaac. And then there's Joseph. Remember, he was the favorite son of Jacob. He was the grandson of Isaac. He had a coat of many colors. His brothers were all jealous of him. So one time when he went out to see them, they decided to strip him of his beautiful garment and throw him into a cistern and let him die. But at just the right time, a caravan was making its way to Egypt. And they came by and they thought, hey, why not make some money off this deal? Let's not leave him here so he dies, but let's sell him as a slave instead. And so they did. And at just at the right time, Joseph arrived in Egypt. At just the right time, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. At just the right time, Joseph rose to great power in Egypt. At just the right time, the famine struck. His brothers made their way to Egypt, and the family was reunited. And years later, Joseph said exactly right when he said this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. And then at just the right time, the baby Moses was placed in a little basket and set afloat in the River Nile. At just the right time, Pharaoh's daughter came to bath. And at just the right time, the baby cried, and Pharaoh's daughter heard his cries. And the result was Moses ended up growing up in the household of Pharaoh. At just the right time, David came to the battlefront and saw Goliath flexing his muscles and boasting of his strength. At just the right time, Esther was made queen when her people were about to be exterminated. And her uncle Mordecai said to her, "Who knows but that God has made you queen for just such a time as this." Esther 4:14. You see, God's in control. In Daniel 2:21, we can find these words. God changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he disposes of them. We need to understand that God is in control of time. Nothing happens in this world that is surprising to God. I remember a conversation I had with Mother one day in the kitchen. And she said, "It was an accident." I said, "So Mom, did this happen when God's back was turned?" She didn't know what to say. She was speechless. I said, "I think, Mother, with us, there's lots of accidents that we call accidents. But God doesn't call them accidents. There is no accidents with God." Did you hear me? God's in control. Nothing happens in this world that's a surprise to him. He doesn't say, "I didn't know that was going to happen." God's in charge. And we can certainly see that in many places in the Old Testament. So now let's go to the New Testament in the life of Jesus. We can see God's perfect timing in his life. Galatians says, "When the time fully come, God sent his son. The time was right." Do you remember when they ran out of wine in Cana of Galilee? And Jesus' mother said, "Take care of this matter." And Jesus said, "Woman, what do I have to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." This was his first miracle in Cana of Galilee. But you see, sometimes we push the timing. You see, Jesus' mother was pushing the timing a little bit. She was advancing the timing a little bit. But Jesus said there was a perfect time for everything. There was a perfect time. And you'll see this as I'm going to bring this to you. So many different places we find in the scripture about this. How important is it? When you give a special gift to someone, you want the special timing to be just right. You probably wouldn't give an engagement ring to your girlfriend while eating French fries at McDonald's. You'd want everything to be just right. And then you'd pop the question. When God was ready to send his son into the world, everything had to be just right. It was the right time culturally. 300 years before Alexander the Great had conquered most of the known world, he brought with him the Greek culture, the Greek philosophy, as well as the Greek language. And by the first century, Greek was the universal language. It was a language of the common people, the language that everyone could understand and certainly was just right for the spread of the gospel. It was also the right time politically. By the first century, Rome had conquered most of the world. A Roman named Octavian came into power. The Roman Senate named him the ruler of Rome. But they didn't like the title king, so they chose the title Augustus, the August one. Caesar Augustus, he became the first Roman emperor. As you know, how did the Romans do their extermination of criminals? How did they kill their criminals? By lethal injection? How? By crucifixion. You see, timing had to be perfect for Jesus to come and to die on a cross of crucifixion. It's how the Romans dealt with their criminals. You see, God's perfect timing. Luke tells us the birth of Jesus is in those days of Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So God used this pagan government, this pagan emperor, this pagan decree to make sure that Mary and Joseph would make this 80-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that Christ would be born in Bethlehem just as the prophets foretold. You see the timing? God's timing in the life of Christ has always been perfect. And you'll always notice in the Gospels how many times the word timing was used. The time has come, or the time has not yet come. In Mark 1:15, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Whose time? Who is watching the clock? Who determined that this was the right time? In John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 6, his brothers encouraged Jesus to go down to Jerusalem and perform his miracles there. But Jesus said, the right time for me has not yet come. In John 7:30, his enemies tried to seize him, but they were unable to do so because his time had not yet come. Whose time? You're absolutely right. God's time. It was God's time. After the upper room experience, the breaking of the bread, the initiation of the Lord's Supper, the whole language begins to change then in the Gospels, and now you read that the time has come. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. John 17:1. To his disciples, he says, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Mark 14:41. Then he says to those who have come to arrest him, this is your hour when darkness reigns. Luke 22:53. In Romans 5:6, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly at just the right time. And then that brings me to God's perfect timing in your life and in mine. A very important question. What about your life? I want you to look back at your own time of conversion. Can you think of the people and the events or the words or the circumstances that touched your heart, that conditioned your soul, that made your mind receptive to Jesus? When the seed was planted in your heart, it took root and started to grow. The story goes of Chuck Colson. How many of you have heard of Chuck Colson? Prison ministry. Prison fellowship and ministry. It's told of Chuck Colson going to Salem, Oregon, to preach to prisoners there. A singer by the name of Kathy Tricoli went with him and sang the song, My Life, is in your hands. After the service was over, one of the inmates came up to Kathy and said, I really want to thank you for singing that song. It ministered to me so much, he said. My soul was dry. She asked him, why is that? Well, he answered, while I was here in prison, I received a letter this week from my wife asking for a divorce. Just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, they did. Now I realize that my life is in the hands of God. Somehow it will be okay. I really want to thank you for singing that song. 5 days later, Chuck Colson and Kathy were in Chicago, Illinois, 1,000 miles away from Salem, Oregon. They were preaching and singing in the prison there, and Kathy sang the same song. My life is in your hands. Afterwards, a woman who had never before been to a prison fellowship meeting came up to Kathy and said, I really want to thank you for singing that song. My soul's been so dry. Almost the same exact words. Again, Kathy asked, well, why? She answered, well, my husband, you see, is in prison. And I felt like I couldn't put up with it anymore, so I wrote him last week and asked for a divorce. And I'm not at peace about it. Her husband was the man they met back in Salem. Just a coincidence? Not so. Kathy was able to minister to her, and God began healing their marriage and bringing them back together. Whew. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. You don't always get an instant answer to your prayers. It doesn't always work the way that we hope it will. But we certainly have this promise that no matter how difficult, no matter how tough life may be, no matter how disappointing things might be, God is still in control. And in Romans 13:11, Paul said, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Wake up, he says. You're a Christian today, rejoice. If you're not a Christian, be concerned, because the clock is ticking. There's not a lot of time left. And one of these days, we're going to hear the trumpet blow, and we'll see the glory of God coming in the sky. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you asked yourself what time it is in your life? Do you have time to just play? Will you take advantage of this opportunity, realizing that in God's chronology, he has led you to this very moment when you can give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't believe it was just happenstance God laid this message in my heart. I was blessed by this. I really was. I read it and read it and read it, and I thought, wow. Are you here today? Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me a sinner. I invite you to come and live in my heart. I want to live for you from this day forward. I know there'll be times of trouble, but I know you'll be there to help me and give me the strength. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can be saved today. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah.